If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I've shown you some of these pictures before. They're pictures of what's called forced perspective. You've seen these before? These are not Photoshop. These are actual pictures. Let's go through some of these here, Tom. What's happening is because we are three-dimensional beings, things that are further away look like they're smaller in two dimensions. I'm not a scientist, folks. I read that in Wikipedia, okay? But it gives you pictures. Good. There you go. You're going to want to try these later on. I think you need a beach, evidently, to do these well. I like this next one. Yeah. And if you've traveled in Europe at all, you'll notice that this is a very popular picture to take. The American version of this is the Washington Monument, somebody holding it in their hand. Or maybe you've seen somebody at the Pyramids of Giza. I love that one. Remind me to bring my dinosaur the next time. This one was really cool. I love the concept of this. Looks like all one big... Yeah. Does that next one make you hungry? I'm a little hungry right now. As I mentioned, if you travel in Europe, you'll see this at the major monuments, and the one is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And you can see in the background, you see other people doing this, so much so that there's this beautiful architecture, this beautiful historic monument, and they're there to take goofy pictures. And so my friend Paige Otway, you remember Paige from a couple summers ago, she decided this week to run around. She's in Europe, she's at Pisa, and she decided just to high-five everybody who's standing around holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's great. I couldn't get the videos real grainy. It was taken on the phone. But the Europeans were not happy with her. I'm just going to tell you that, okay? This was not like a really well-received thing. But I wanted to show you these pictures. I wanted to get your mind around this idea that not everything is as it seems. That sometimes the things that we see in life are different from what they really are. I call this sermon BOLO, be on the lookout, or I like to say it for our teenagers, BOLO before you YOLO, okay? You gotta look before, nobody YOLOs anymore? Thank you, Chase. Where were you yesterday? Anyways, you gotta be on the lookout for some of these things, because as you engage in the world, things that look one way, and I'm just gonna tell you this, that I think that this is a product of Satan. He's made them to look really enticing, really good. And when you get in the big fat middle of them, they're destructive. Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, be on the lookout. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, that's really important language there. When he says devil, he's using this word for accuser or liar, one who distorts the truth. And this scheme, the whole scheme of the devil, are you ready? Here's his playbook to make you think that a lie is really the truth. And how often, adults, do we live into some lies that we believe? For our struggle, Paul says, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What I want to take this morning from this, just this short part of this passage, is that things are not what they seem. And maybe you read angels and demons and principalities and powers, and you're like, yeah, I just don't believe in that stuff. That sounds really hokey. I'm telling you this morning that the plan that the devil has for your life is just as real as the plan that God has for your life. And that if we believe in the power of the one who saves us through His blood, if we come and remember that Jesus died for us, you better believe that Jesus takes seriously these kind of powers and authorities. Great story we shared a couple weeks ago. In the Old Testament, the famous prophet Elisha, he is telling the king of Israel everything that's going on that this Syrian king is planning to do. And finally, the Syrian king's had enough. And he says, let's just send all of my thugs, all my men who take care of business for me, let's send him to Elisha and let's wipe him out. And Gehazi, Elisha's servant, you remember this? He wakes up and he sees him and he's like, Elisha, we got a problem here. I think it's for you. These guys are going to talk to you. Not so much me. I'm going to back out. And Elisha says, do not fear. Very famous passage. This is 2 Kings 6:16. Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And as Elisha prays, he prays to God, and he prays this prayer, and it's the same prayer that I think Paul prays, it's the same prayer that I have for our seniors, that God would open up the eyes of your heart. And for good old Gehazi, when God opens his eyes, he sees the forces of good. He sees God's powers and principalities. And it says that it looked like horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. My greatest prayer for our seniors is that you would see things as they really are and not as the world presents them to you. It's what Paul writes about. In fact, I think this is a bookend passage. I think Paul starts and ends in the same place. In Ephesians 1:17, his prayer for the Ephesians, do you remember this? He says, I keep asking that God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Because the world has called some things true that are false. And I don't know why I remember this, but a guy said one time that fear is just false evidence appearing real. You ever heard that before? Fear is just false evidence appearing real. And I don't mean to scare you. This isn't a ghost story, you know, there's a demon, a devil behind every door. I'm not telling you that. But what I am telling you is that the world has done a very good job of disguising lies as the truth. And so they will tell you some things that aren't true. And it's not just for kids. Okay, it's not just for kids. Kids, they'll tell you things like sex doesn't have a price tag, that there is no price to be paid, no emotional, no spiritual price, that it's just, you know, if you feel it in your heart and you want to do it, then you ought to do that. And what we know, the truth is that the choices you make right now about your sexuality and how you live that out can have disastrous results or wonderful results. Another lie they'll tell you is that, you know, kind of recreational drug use, it doesn't hurt anybody, it's all good, God made it, it grows from the ground, so why shouldn't we ingest it? And what they're leaving out is the truth is that it will lead you on a path. And I'm reminded in my mind right now of Proverbs 14, I think it's verse 16, there is a way that seems right to man, but it leads to what? Destruction. You don't have to go very far. I mean, like, talk to people 4 years older than you, not 40 years older than you. You can talk to 40 people 40 years older than you, too. But talk to somebody just 4 years down the road and ask them about choices they made when they were sitting in your seat, when they were in your shoes. Parents, we don't get off the hook here either. We have bought some lies of Satan. We believe them to be true, and so we live them out. I love how Reggie Joyner, in his book, Think Orange, if you haven't read Think Orange, just go out and buy it right now. Forget the sermon, leave. He says, even though most parents genuinely believe their jobs aren't to make their children happy. Now, there's the lie. The lie is, your children need to be happy. Okay. He says, most of us don't believe that. He says, they often get worn down and give in. If you're a parent, you don't like it when your kids are in a bad mood. Things are just easier when everybody is happy. You're happy when they are happy. So you'll watch a blue dog on television. You'll eat chicken McNuggets. You'll buy pet turtles, listen to the Wiggles, and mortgage your house if their happiness is at stake. He says you don't want them to be spoiled. You just want them to be happy. Parents, I hope you can hear this morning. The goal of parenting is not to make your kids happy. The goal of parenting is to make your kids holy. We don't want kids that are satisfied. We want kids that are sanctified. Life is tough. Life is stressful. We've got, you know, appointments to keep. We've got to get everybody the right practice at the right time. And sometimes we just give in and we believe the lie that the best thing we can do for our kids is to make them happy. But the number one job of parents is to show them the truth. No matter how stressed or tired or worn out we are, we want to raise children up to serve the Lord. In 1 Timothy 6, I love this passage. Would you hear this morning? He says, Paul says to Timothy, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And then he says, Timothy, you need to understand something here. You're in a battle. Whether you chose it or not, whether you knew it or not, whether you signed up for it or not, you are in a fight for your very eternal life. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Christ Jesus, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you, would you hear these words this morning? I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about at his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever and ever. Amen. Paul's preparing Timothy for battle. And it seems like all we are prepared is to sulk and pout if we don't get our way. I love this. This is a kind of a strange illustration, but in his book, Fuzzy Memories, an author by the name of Jack Handy writes, he says, there used to be this bully who would demand my lunch money every day. Since I was smaller, I would give it to him. Then I decided to fight back. I started taking karate lessons, but the instructor wanted $5 a lesson. That was a lot of money. I found it was cheaper just to pay the bully, and so I gave up karate. So many of us have decided it's just too costly. It's too hard. It's too difficult. It takes too much energy. It takes too much thought. It takes too much discipline to follow the way of Christ, to walk in the way that He's led us, to follow how our spirit is pushing us. And so we just pay the bully. I want to give you an illustration this morning. I wanted to show you a story of a young person for our seniors. So watch this real quick and then we'll make a final application.
78-year-old Tana Herndon of Bethany, Oklahoma, was vulnerable in every way.
Oh, my.
Her husband of 60 years had died just 2 weeks earlier. Her eyes, so clouded with grief, she never saw it coming.
You know, I really didn't know anything was going wrong until I was halfway in the car.
An elderly woman visits her husband's grave only to be mugged.
The mugger got away with her purse and $700, but not for long. Police caught him, and the news put his mugshot on TV.
So first time you see that picture, do you recognize who that guy is?
Yeah, in detail.
You had no doubt?
Yeah.
That was your dad?
15-year-old Christian Lunsford says his parents divorced when he was 2, and his dad has been mostly absent ever since. Last time he heard from him was a few weeks ago. His dad gave him $250 for a band trip Christian really wants to go on. But that's been the extent of his parenting recently. In fact, over the years, Christian says his dad has been in and out of jail more than half a dozen times.
There's times like that you just feel really low, like, is that going to be me? Am I going to end up like that?
This apple wants nothing to do with the tree. Which is why, after Christian heard about his dad's latest crime, he reached out to the victim and asked to meet her in this church parking lot.
You think, what's going on here?
He says he just had to tell her.
I'm sorry about what happened.
Hey.
It needed to be done. She needed an apology from somebody. If I didn't apologize, who would?
I thought that was so precious. Any 15-year-old boy who has that much conscience is extraordinary.
And Christian was just getting started.
He gave me $250 for my band trip, man, but I'm not sure if it was yours or however he got it, but I'd feel bad if I didn't give it to you.
Never mind that it wasn't his crime. He paid the debt.
I accept this. I accepted the money back, and it was mine to do with what I wanted.
Which brings us to the best part of this story.
I want you to take your band trip.
She gave it all back to him.
Are you sure?
For his band trip.
It was a joy to do that.
Thank you.
Yes.
In the end, no money changed hands in that church parking lot. But they each got something tremendously valuable from the other.
I feel more like my life still has a purpose.
You're not who your parents are. I mean, but even if they do raise you, you can become whoever you want to be.
No victims here. Steve Hartman, On the Road, in Oklahoma City.
So if we could give this a little bit of a spiritual perspective, which I don't think I need to. I think you all went, we got it, we're good, sing the song. Do you see the lies at work in this story? The lie that this young man is going to believe is, you are your father's son, you can't do any better than that, he's a criminal, you come from a broken, all the lies that Satan's telling this young man. He's also hearing this lie. She doesn't want to hear from you. In fact, if you go there, this is going to maybe cause her more pain, or it's going to be awkward, or I don't know. It's just going to be bad. And those are the lies that are going on over here in his life. And then over here, the lies that Satan telling this lady is, hey, your life is never going to get any better. You have lost, you're grieving, you're broken, you're shattered, and life is just getting progressively worse. Why in the world would you want to listen to somebody who's the son of the man who robbed you? And I can imagine, can you imagine being her kids And you get that phone call, hey, well, you need to take your mom to the parking lot of this church because the guy's son who robbed her wants to meet her. And I'm going, that's fine. Let him write a letter, send a text, a card, an email, but we're not getting together. See, that's the power of the lies of Satan. And in the middle here, where these two come in, where they collide, is what? Is grace. Is forgiveness. Is understand. Is not just, hey, we're good, God bless you, going about your life, but this abundant, spacious ability to forgive and to heal and to be made whole. Paul says, if you're not careful, you will believe the lies that Satan wants to tell you. We're going to talk in the next couple of weeks about how we fight against those lies and what weapons that we have. But I wanted you to hear this morning. This is for our seniors, but as well for all of us who fight these battles every day. This is Joshua 1, verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And all the parents in the room and all the grandparents in the room said, amen. God, let it be so. If you have a spiritual need this morning, if you need to respond to this message in any way, I'm going to ask our elders and their wives to just go back quickly to the back because I know we're going to bless our seniors as well. But if you'll go back there and receive anybody who's wanting prayer, if you'd like to make a public confession or if you'd like to be baptized this morning, come as we stand and sing.